Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this special day. Thank you for these dear folks that are here. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. God, help us today to be better Christians from what we hear from the preaching of the Word of God. Father, I pray this morning if there's somebody in this room that doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven and have their sins forgiven, that today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
I ask you now that you are seated and the preaching service has begun, that you make sure your electronic devices are turned off or to vibrate so nothing goes off during the service. That will help us. You say, I'm sure it's off. Just check right quick and make sure that it is. If not, then ushers will shoot you right where you're sitting if your phone goes off, and we'd hate to see that happen in church. That will help us tremendously. The other thing I ask you to do is now sit still and listen very carefully. No one needs to go out for these next few moments, and listen to me if you would, because I want to talk to you about when your mother preaches to you. When your mother preaches to you. I know the best preacher in my house is my wife. No question about that. Now, of course, the Bible says, teaches that God does not call women to preach in churches and those sorts of things. But the best preacher I ever knew was my mother. The best preacher you ever had in your house was probably your mother also. This king, I want you to look at Psalm 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel. Lemuel's another name for Solomon. Solomon is the human author of this book. God is the writer. Solomon is the human author. Solomon had a couple of names in the Bible. Jedediah was his birth name. Lemuel was a name. It means one who's dedicated. I think, and it's the only time he's ever called Lemuel, I think that was the name his mother Bathsheba gave him. And she said, and the words, it says in verse number 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy, if you'll see that statement, that his mother taught him. Prophecy is not just foretelling what will be. Prophecy is foretelling what should be. So everything in this 31st chapter is what his mother taught him. Some pretty interesting things in this chapter. This chapter is verse 10 to verse number 31 is a great virtuous woman chapter in the Bible, where his mother taught Solomon what the right kind of woman should be. His mother was a good preacher, prophecy. She foretold. If you think about it in your life, if you had a good mom who loved you, cared for you, watched out for you, she's done a lot of preaching to you in your life. Sometimes said in a nice and a kind way, sometimes said in a way that we could be misconstrued as nagging. Mothers never nag when they're trying to help their children. They're just trying to emphasize a point over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's not nagging. That's a mother's preaching. That's the way it's supposed to work. And if we listen to them, they don't have to say it once. Isn't that right, Mom? That's right. And so the truth of the matter is they prophesy to us. And these are the words he said, my mother preached to me when I was a kid. Now, this is when Solomon is a man. I do not believe that Bathsheba knew when Solomon was a boy he was king. Now, if you know anything about the lineage of David and his children, he had several wives. Bathsheba was one of them. The oldest son would become the king. Now, the oldest son did not become the king. Solomon was about fifth or sixth born. So she did not know, Bathsheba, his mother, did not know when she gave birth to Solomon he would be king of Israel one day. But she taught him some things. She prophesied to her son. And these are the words, he says, my mother prophesied to me. She taught me. Thank God for preaching mothers who know and realize, like a lady came up to a preacher one day and she said, I believe God has called me to preach. And he says, how many children do you have? She said, 8. And he said, he's already given you your congregation. The truth of the matter is, that's the best preaching a mom will ever do is her children. What she teaches them, what she tells them, what she instructs them with, what she instructs them, you know, how a mother preaches, you understand. She does it, number one, with her lips, by what she says, by the words that she speaks. No one will spend as much time with the children in the household as mom. That's why, and I know in a society today, it's like some kind of a curse for a woman to be a mother and put an emphasis upon her family. It's like somehow or another she's a second-class citizen in society today. Not in biblical truth. Not in a good church either. Don't you see why God intended for a woman to be a mother and the head of her head up her household? Husband's the head of the home. Mother's the head of the household. Do you know why God put the woman there? Because of her ability to instruct and to teach. And her faithfulness to do so and to commit herself to that great principle. I'm not here to bother anybody this morning about your life and what you do. But ladies, let me tell you something today. Don't you ever let the world put your head down because you're a mother. Because you put an emphasis on your family. Because you believe that instructing and teaching and being there for your kids and your home is something. There's no second class citizen in God's sight with that kind of stuff. You let the world go on and say what the world wants to say. By the way, that's a messed up world out there. Who has no idea who they are, what they are, and what they believe, but they can sure tell you what you're supposed to be doing with your life. You let God tell you what you should be doing. Yeah, thank God for preaching moms. Thank God for mothers who've prophesied, mothers who've instructed. They do so with their lips, the way they talk, how they talk, the right time. They seem to have a wisdom about things. They seem to know when to say it. They seem to know how many times to say it. They seem to understand the importance of repetition to get the truth across. Most dads think, hey, I told him once, what's the point? Mom knows she's going to have to bring it in from this side and from that side and say it here and say it there and instruct and guide and direct. Mothers prophesy with their lips. Mothers prophesy with their lives. See, I don't think people understand. And I didn't bring the statistics with me this morning. I usually do on Mother's Day. What it would cost to hire somebody to take the place of your mother. And all the things that she does in a home and a household. I think I had guys calling me say, please don't bring that in again. You about bankrupted me last year. But the truth of the matter is, it's unbelievable. If you count the amount of hours and time and labor and work and effort and things that are put into that, it is incredible how much of a work ethic mothers teach just by their example. And then, of course, by their life and the way they live and by what they do. And Mom, I hope you're living an example of a life that is worth repeating and following. He said, my mother prophesied these words to me. And look what he did here and what he's talking about. He found that his mother had prophesied about his potential. Bathsheba did not know that he would become king one day. But you see, mothers never know what their children will become, but they understand and see the potential in their children. They see it. They have an eyesight of things. They can pick up this trait about them and that trait about them. And they can see their strengths and their weaknesses. And they understand that without developing the strengths and improving the weaknesses, that person is going to be deficient in their life. But mothers have a way of seeing potential in their children. They have a way of picking out things. And he says, these are the words that his mother taught the king. Every mother sees the potential of their children. Are you living up to the potential of your mother's prophesying? Sad to think, ladies and gentlemen, that we live below the standard our mother set for us. Well, she had too many expectations of me. I remember the young man came to my office, about 27, 28 years of age. He said, I got a problem, Pastor. Could I talk with you? He did not attend our church regularly, but his parents did. And I said, I'd be glad to. We sit down, we chatted in my office, and he says, you have to understand something. Ever since I was a child, I've been programmed for failure. I said, what do you mean? I knew his mom and dad had been in our church for many years. He said, I've been programmed for failure ever since I was a kid. Ever since I was a kid, I was told that when I did something, I was told how to do it better. And ever since I was a kid, I was told the importance of how you have to work hard to get what you need in life. And he started laying out the program. And after he got done, I thought, those are pretty good parents. And he says, so you see, that's why I'm 26 or 27, however old he was. That's why I'm 26 or 27, and I just can't get anywhere in life because I've been programmed for failure by my parents. And I just sat there. And we call it in the pastoring business, we call it poker face. It's a bad expression, but it's the only one I can think of that works. And this is what you see. You got to give them a pastoral nod every now and then. I said, are you done? I said, yeah. I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. He said, what? I said, you want to be programmed for failure? Let me program you for another minute for just a second, all right? I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, all they ever did was call you to do better in your life. This is programming you to fail. I said, if you're 26, 27, pal, and you're a failure, it's your fault, not your mom and dad's fault. Hey, they told you what would help you in your life, and you've just blown the whole thing off, and now you want to blame them for your failure. Sorry, friend, that doesn't work. If you were 12, we talk about it. You're 26. Grow up, stop thumb sucking and getting... See, I'm going to kill a lot of counseling business this morning. See, you thought you'd come in and be a, you know, another breakdown of Dr. Phil with a head of hair on him, you know, one of those kind of deals. And we break this thing out and have you, you know, the truth of the matter is your mother understood your potential. And she realized the need of your life and tried to instruct you and lift up the weaknesses and build up the strengths and raise up the floor and bring down the mountains a little bit and instruct you and teach you. Now, the truth of the matter is it'd be wrong for us to live below the potential your parents have set for you, especially your mother. He said, these are the words my mother taught me. You know what he was? He was a king. You don't tell a king what to do, but his mother could. He said, well, I don't have to deal with that now, Pastor Johnson. I'm a grown up after all. You had a mother. Now, I don't know what kind of mom you had. My mother was, I was not raised with my mother a great deal in my life. Very few years of my life was spent with my mom. Very few. My grandmother was more like my mother than anybody else. So I had a second generation removed mother figure in my life as I grew up. Very godly lady, very patient woman. But bro, she could read you the riot act like you can't believe and see right through you like a piece of glass and nail your hide to the wall. My grandmother was an amazing woman. But she was the kind of woman who could encourage you. Seriously, there are times when if I ever needed to be encouraged, I'd go to my grandmother. She would encourage me like you cannot believe. I could go into McDonald's with a Uzi and spray people down, and she'd say, oh, Michael, you did a good job. I mean, that's the kind of person that she was, to a fault in that respect, quite frankly. But she was that kind of a person. I mean, she could really encourage you and lift you up, but when you needed chewing out, she'd give it to you. She would always make sure I understood that if I would let God help me in my life, I could do whatever God wanted me to do. But she wasn't one of those power positive thinking people. You can do whatever you put your mind to. That is garbage philosophy. It's garbage. You can't do whatever you put your mind to. You can do whatever God helps you to do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And I had a grandmother, thank God, who taught me that, who taught me that I could do what God wanted me to do with my life. Dear people, did your mother preach to you of the potential that your life had? Are you living up to that potential? Are you just, well, I'm just going to live my own life and I don't care what my mother said. You know, when the Bible says that you are to honor your father and your mother, that's in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. It's also in Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and your mother. In Ephesians 6, it says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Did you know the benefit of honoring your mother and your father is its benefit to you more than to them? And to honor them means to give them the respect that they are due for the position that they hold. Nobody in this room has had a perfect mother. Nobody did. My mother was not perfect. My grandmother's a great lady, but she was not a perfect lady either. Nobody's had a perfect mom. So you don't get off the stuff, okay? Well, she wasn't there, and let me tell you what my mom didn't do. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you honor what she did do that was right? Why don't you honor what she did do that was proper? Why don't you honor what she did do that was appropriate? And to honor, there's no great, see, moms are wonderful. They like flowers. They like little cards. They like little expressions of things. You know, dad, it's got to be a car or a trip to somewhere or a fishing pole or something, you know. It's got to be a little bigger with dad. He doesn't really appreciate the little things as much, though I'm a sensitive guy and I do. But, I mean, it's a whole other situation. But the truth is, but what a better way to honor your mother than to live up to the potential she saw in you as she raised you and reared you and trained you and taught you and instructed you and told you the things you needed to know in life, like be sure to wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident and you have to go to the hospital. Stuff like that. No one's teaching people that anymore. Ask the medical people. Folks coming in ambulances and dirty underwear. It's unbelievable. What's happening to America? Some of the stuff they taught us, it's like, who cares? I mean, but they seem to have a way. I mean, every little thing that seemed to matter so much to them seemed like no big deal to us, but it was something. They were prophesying. Mom was preaching about potential in life and your potential. Look at Proverbs 31 again. They also prophesied and preached to us about the dangers in life. See what he said in verse number 3? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Son, be careful about things that will ruin your life now. Be careful about that. Who better to teach you about women than your mother? Best instructor on the planet. You know why? Because she is one of them. So be careful about this. Watch this. Then in verses 4 to 6, he tells her, it's interesting. She told him, son, stay away from booze. That's what it says. Verse 4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of the afflicted. Look at verse 6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. That's an expression of how they used to give stuff like that to people who are about to be executed. They're going to die anyway, so let them have some. It helped to numb the pain of their execution because they didn't just simply execute people. In those days, they tortured them and executed them. So they gave them heavy drink in order to numb the pain before they were executed. He said, unless you're planning on being a dead man, son, stay away from the liquor stuff. By the way, that's still not a bad admonition for today either. You know, the truth of the matter is, dear people, your mother preached to you about all the dangers of life. She instructed you. She said, watch, look both ways when you cross the street. Be careful about what you're doing. From the smallest things of safety, and don't run with scissors in your hand, for goodness sakes, and all that sort of stuff, to everything else is saying, now, son, young lady, look at me. You better stay away from that young man. That's not the kind of person you need to be with. Well, she doesn't need to tell me how to live my life. Well, somebody needed to tell you how to live your life, Spanky. When you were little, you weren't paying attention. Did you listen? They gave you the warning about dangers in life. That's how moms are. They preach and say, listen now. They get in front of him. They wave their hand and say, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go over there. How about spiritually? Did your mother warn you? Did she preach to you spiritually about salvation and your need of Christ and that you needed to know him as your personal Savior? Many of us were saved at the knee of our mother. She led us to Christ. You know, the truth of the matter is that mother was, and by the way, if your mother was not a Christian, your mother had nothing to do with God whatsoever, and she departed this life, I can assure you this morning, her desire is for you to settle the matter of your salvation. I'll never forget Calumet City, South Chicago, Southeast Chicago area. We were working in a jail ministry when we were in Bible college, and a young man in the jail asked us, he said, would you please go see my mother? And he gave us the address, and I recognized us in Calumet City, and I thought, Calumet City. I said, man, that's a rough part of town, nasty part of town. Nothing but bars and houses of prostitution. He gave us the address of this house, and we went there with a buddy of mine we were in Bible college with. We went to the little house, a little broken down, clapboard house stuck between two bars. Knocked on the front door. Lady opened the side door. She said, you'll have to come around this way. She said, you can't go through the front door. We stepped around to the side of the house. She looked at us, and we looked at her, and I thought, this lady's a prostitute. I said, ma'am, I said, I'm Brother Johnson from the Lake County Juvenile Hall home. Your son's asked us to come by and see you. She said, you know my boy? And I said, yes, ma'am, I saw him. We were at the jail service this past week, and he asked us to come and talk with you for a minute. Do you have a moment? She asked us to step inside. She lived in the side room of a broken down house. She showed us the front room area. The floor was caved in the front room. Still had the carpet on it. It looked like a sinkhole. She didn't tell us what she did, but we knew. This lady looked rough. She had had a hard life. Her boy was now 17 years of age, had murdered somebody, and was probably going to spend the rest of his life in prison. We talked to her about her son. We told her that her son had gotten saved in the service. He said, first thing he wanted us to do was come talk to you. She said, there isn't any hope for me. She said, I hope there's hope for my son. She said, but there isn't any hope for me. I looked at that lady and I said, dear ma'am, there is hope for you. God loves you as much as he loves anybody on this planet. We tried to win her to Christ. She would not trust Christ. But you know, this lady, hardened by the difficulties of sin in life, looked at me and she said, but please help my son. She said, obviously, She pointed around in the little room she was living in. She said, obviously, there's nothing I can do for him myself. She said, I can't even go and visit him. She says, not that I don't want to. She said, I'd be arrested. She said, I can't go see him, but look at me. She said, but please help my son. Please help my son. This is a woman as a prostitute, had a record, couldn't even go visit her own son in jail because she would be arrested. And her concern was about her boy. Yeah, well, she shouldn't have done what she did with her life and her boy wouldn't be where he was. Okay, that's all fine and good. And I'm not condoning anything or saying anything's right or wrong. I'm saying here is a mother whose life was ruined and her concern was about the dangers that her son would face. Her concern was about her own son's life. His spiritual condition. You know something? Mom warns us. She's been preaching about the dangers of life. She's telling, did she tell you about Christ and salvation? Did she tell you there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Did she realize, tell you that Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sins and went to the grave and rose again 3 days later? Was Jesus, his name, was she the first one to speak that name to you as a child? Was it Mom who sang the songs? Was it Mom who used to lead in prayer? Was it your mother instructed you? Did she warn you? Did she tell you? Then it's time to do something about that. Regardless of what Mom is or is not, trust me, her desire would be, son, be careful now. Daughter, be careful now. She warn you about the dangers. She tell you about the things of life. She stand in front of you and beg you not to go a certain direction. Did she implore you? Did she plead with you? See, that thing, ladies and gentlemen, about our mothers and their influence and their prophecy to us, it was for our good. I'm afraid sometimes as fathers, our pride is hurt when our kids don't live up to what they should. But for most moms, their hurt is for the children, for their life. Pastor Johnson, I came to church on Mother's Day, and now you're starting to make me feel bad. Well, I'm sorry I can't massage your ego and make you feel good, but if something's not right, it's time to get it right. Look at me. And don't do it for your mom. Do it because it's right. But for your mom isn't a bad reason either. Mom preached to us about the dangers of life. And then he starts in verse number 10 to verse number 31, and we'll not read the verses, but we found that Mom preached to us with her testimony. Well, Bathsheba must have been a great woman, Pastor Johnson. We know she made at least one huge mistake in her life. We know she did some things she should not do. We know her testimony, listen to me, we know her testimony is not impeccable and perfect. But we also know this, and you moms listen to this preacher this morning, we know she outlived her mistake. See, the only thing you can do with a testimony that's damaged is either you can decide my testimony's damaged and I can't do anything about it now and my life is over and I might as well just go ahead and throw the rest of my life away, or you can outlive a mistake in life. Bathsheba outlived the mistake. She made a mistake with David. She committed adultery with David. She made a horrible mistake in her life. But Bathsheba made that one mistake in Scripture. We know of no others in her life. We know this, that she gave birth to, later she was married to David, and she gave birth to this young man, Solomon. We know she outlived the mistakes of her life. That's how you do it, Mom. You either decide my life is over and throw it away. I've seen 16-year-old young people just throw their life away. Just throw it away. And they're 16. They haven't even lived it yet. But I've also seen people who spend the rest of their life, woe is me, with their head in a bottle, with drugs in their life, living immoral lives, just throwing it away. I mean, just throwing it all away, just chucking it all. Or they don't have that side of life. You know, they're quote-unquote clean, but they don't do anything spiritually with their life. They got nothing working there. And the testimony is, but I made a mistake. Well, then get off this thing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a forgiving God who will restore and repair and put things together if we'll come to him to get it right. Or we can just spend the rest of our life playing the woe is me violin and chuck it all out the door. One or the other. See, Bathsheba, she preached to Solomon with her life, her testimony. She outlived her mistakes. It's the only hope we have, you know. Wonderful thing about God's forgiveness is when God forgives, God forgets. People don't. They just keep remembering, don't they? But can we not say this morning that after a period of time of living the way we're supposed to live, we can at least say, that's what I was, but that's not what I am now. By the grace of God, that's not what I am now. He said, these are the words that my mother prophesied to me. And then she starts teaching him about what a virtuous woman is really like. Could Bathsheba say she was a virtuous woman? No. But yes. No, she made her mistakes. But if you'll read those verses in Proverbs 31, you'll find there's no perfection in the virtuous woman. She just has a heart to serve, to do something for others. She has the Bible says her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also. God praises her. God lifts up the floor of things. God takes care of things, and she has a good testimony. You call your mom today if she's not with you now. You be sure to wish her a happy Mother's Day if you can. We have some folks here this morning. This is their first Mother's Day without their mom. It's important we do right and be right with our parents. It's important we do right and be right with your mother. It's very important. It's important to your life. Read Ephesians 6, the first three verses, and realize how much your mom has preached to you over these years. Now then, do you live up to it or do you live below it? Solomon did not know he would be king, nor did Bathsheba, his mother, when she raised him. But it turns out she raised a king. And he stepped up to what his mother preached to him when she prophesied to him in his life. And when he did, God used him greatly. She would not raise a perfect son either, but I'll tell you something. She would raise a son who would also learn to outlive his mistakes. What did your mother prophesy to you? What did she teach you that was right, that was godly? That was what the Bible says you ought to be and do. To honor her is to live up to the truth she taught you. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning, please.